You're listening to the Higher Ideas Podcast, where ideas grow. Connect on higherideas.net. Now here's your host, I.
Hello, fellow human, and welcome back to the Higher Ideas Podcast. Once again, getting back to the mic after a long delay. Well, this just keeps happening, doesn't it? This is how it goes when you're living this crazy adventure, right? Life gets in the way. I wish I had the stability that I used to have back in Toronto to podcast 2-3 times a week. But man, life has been just putting me through the freaking ringer ever since I got here. Things just keep popping up that interrupt, as they did yet again. And of course, I'm going to explain today in an Open Heart Sunday. So it's been a while since I've done an Open Heart Sunday. To remind anybody that maybe hasn't heard one before, an Open Heart Sunday is an episode where I just talk about life without any specific concept to dig into like the other episodes. This one is just going to be an update, and I'm sure there's going to be some little lessons here and there because I've learned quite a few things recently. And before I get into it, before I say anything else, I have to say what's been on my mind for a long time over these last couple months, which is thank you so much to my Patreon patrons. I've got only 6 people signed up to support this podcast on a monthly basis so far. It's been slow going, getting 1 person a month, 1 person every 2 months. But you know what? At this point, we are at $200 a month, which is almost to the $300 survival mark that I've set. So definitely it's not taking me out of the crisis situation, which is that I'm losing money every month, and I'm not sure if this is going to be sustainable. But at $200 a month, it is a noticeable difference. So thank you guys so much, all 6 of you. There's only 6 so far, but we've gotten to 200 with those 6. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. And look, here's some news. Thanks to this donation that I can rely on every month, I've recently changed apartments. And that has been pretty big. I've been here for a week. I'm testing the sound right now. It's a little echoey in here, but we'll see how it goes. But the important thing is I can focus now because it's quiet. Let me give you just an example that I recorded in the old apartment so you can hear what I was dealing with there. Yep, so there were roosters on the nearby rooftop that would be crowing 24/7. There was a very busy street up front filled with motor taxis, which have the loudest freaking engine. There were the neighbors living their loud, loud life. And there was no soundproofing in my room. There was no privacy. There was energy going back and forth in the house all the time. And even besides the fact that it was keeping me from sitting down and recording in silence when I had a moment of, yes, I want to record this, even besides that interrupting element, there's also the fact that living in that for, I guess I was there for a year plus, living in that daily, not sleeping well, because at night there was a bar downstairs and there were the neighbors always being loud, really early in the morning till really late at night, I was just draining from lack of rest, but also lack of stillness. I, in moving to this quiet place for a week now, I've remembered the importance, for at least for me in my life, of having stillness in my home so that my energy can settle, so that I could focus on my thoughts, so I could gather myself, right? Find my center again. I'm a person that's really sensitive to external forces, right? I'm a really sensitive person to energies and whatnot. So when there's all this noise constantly going on, it's putting noise inside of me. And this is something I learn in ayahuasca dietas as well, right? The importance of isolation, the importance of silence, to find yourself again, to center yourself, to find your inner stability, right? Now, of course, a disciplined person, a person who masters themselves, will not be affected by any amount of external noise and whatnot. But I mean, you know, I'm still learning that aspect. I'm still very sensitive to this kind of element always being around me, this noise, this energy, this distraction, other people's lives, other people's energy, people fighting, people arguing. You know, it was slowly killing me, basically, at this other apartment. But I couldn't leave because I was living at the cheapest level that I could live. And to move to a better situation cost more money per month. And I couldn't allow myself that because that would remove time in Peru for me. That shortened the amount of funds that I had to stay here longer until things start, you know, self-sustaining from income from clients and whatnot. So the point is, this donation that you six amazing listeners have been providing gave me the opportunity, gave me the solidity of knowing this is coming in every month to make this shift to a slightly, very slightly more expensive place. I mean, if you break it down, but it allowed me to do it. So thank you guys, because I've been, as I said, living in this new place for about a week and a half, and for God's sake, is it nice to be able to sleep without putting earplugs in, without putting my head under two pillows, and turning on a white noise to block out everything going on around me at night so that I could sleep. I was not sleeping well despite all of that, but for a week and a half now, I've been sleeping well. So well, I've been dreaming again, which has been gone for so long in my life. And in the middle of the day, if I'm ever, you know, feeling drained, I can actually have a midday nap because it is quiet here. And I can sleep whenever I need to. That has been so helpful. So I'm recovering, you know, this last week and a half or so. I'm coming out of this drained state that I've been in. And on top of that, I've been depressed, that's a whole other thing, but that was definitely a huge factor in the depression, was just this slow drain. And I wasn't sure if it was because I wasn't eating enough, again, because of finances, or if I was, I don't know, I couldn't tell what the problem was these last bunch of months, especially the last 6 months, as I noticed my energy dying off, getting depressed, and no motivation to work, and when I did have motivation, I couldn't because of the noise. It's been a rough one. It's been rough, fellow humans, but this place is better, and I'm glad I'm here, and that's all thanks to you six amazing Patreon supporters, so you see, it does make a difference. And another note on how amazing my Patreon supporters are so far. I've been talking a lot in my episodes about Mr. X, the most generous of all, who's donating over $100 a month. That is freaking amazing. So amazing that I feel guilty about it, okay? And a couple months back, I had a dream that because I wasn't podcasting enough, because I wasn't producing enough, now with this pressure of donation coming in, now I have to give them the money's worth, right? I had this dream where I checked on my Patreon account, and Mr. X had pulled out. There goes $100 a month. And I was just sad, but at the same time, I understood, right? I thought, yeah, I guess I'm not delivering. So I wake up the next morning, kind of worried this is going to be true. And I check my emails. And there's a notice in my email that says, Mr. X has increased his donation by $10 a month. Increased. So of course I send him an email and I tell him, oh my god, really $10 more? You don't have to do this, you're giving more than I even want for one person, right? You're already so generous, what are you doing giving me $10 more? You really, really don't have to. And in fact, I told him about the dream, I feel bad that you're giving so much And I'm not getting to give back as much as I would like to with this podcast since you guys have been donating. And he replied with this really awesome email. He says, listen, man, I don't care if you podcast. You can stop podcasting for months if you want. I am giving this money to support your life, to support what you're doing there, because I believe in this effort that you're making over there for yourself, for becoming a healer, to help others. That's what I'm donating to. I don't care if you podcast or not. How amazing is that? To have somebody out there giving me $100 a month just because he recognizes that I'm giving so much of myself, not just on this podcast, but in my path, right? And he just wants to help. And in fact, after having this dream that he was pulling out, he had given me more at that same time. So that was quite a cool little moment, and just an example of how awesome these donators are so far. You guys are really great. I hope you feel the gratitude for what's happened so far, for what I've got so far. And I mean, when I set up this Patreon fund, my hope was that I would have, you know, $2 from hundreds of people, and that's the way the funding would come in, because I don't want a lot from anybody. But all these donators that have come around have been giving generous amounts, which is great. I mean, thank you guys. So there it is, before I get into any of this. All right, so thanks to you guys, here I am in a new apartment. And you know, there's been a lot of lessons in this shift to this new apartment. I learned a lot of things about the importance of your home base in this shift. So it was a weird one. I made this decision really spur of the moment because, as I said, the monthly donation coming in definitely made this more possible, less of a stupid idea to upgrade my living condition when I'm already kind of bleeding dry, you know? But I was, for the last couple months, really aware that I needed to come out of this old apartment because of all the things I described. Furthermore, you know, there was just, I wasn't getting along with neighbors anymore, probably because I was stressed, but also because there was a really complex romantic situation happening for me in there. I was just completely smitten by this new neighbor that had come in January. And initially, she was interested. I knew it. I could tell. And there was all this sort of destiny around this, and I was sure we're meant to connect. Might not be forever, but I see this. I see that this has been delivered into my home, right? And this beautiful girl that just everything about her from head to toe hits all the right buttons in me. And I was smitten the second I saw her. But I'm working on myself in many ways when it comes to dealing with the ladies. And I wasn't quick enough. I wasn't smooth enough. I didn't know what to do with her quick enough until she started getting other boyfriends, right? And then I had to deal with that, this girl that I'm not even secretly smitten by. She knew it. I was very open about it. I just didn't know how to play my moves, you know? And so yeah, there she was with a bunch of other guys. I mean, every month she had another guy. And little by little, I you know, started to see a bad aspect about her, that she jumps into relationships with guys in this desperation. The second she doesn't have a guy, she jumps into the other one. She cries for one day about the guy she lost, and then within a week she'd have another guy in her bed, you know? So it became this huge complex thing for me, seeing this girl every day, getting upset at her because I saw her as so much better than she was behaving, and here's this guy that she could stop all of that with. Right? Because I would take care of her. I knew it would be a great relationship if we connected, but, you know, fate played out the way it played out, and then it became this rotten situation for me, where I would get angry at her, she'd get angry at me, we wouldn't talk to each other about it, but the energy was there, right? And it was really strange to see her getting angry at me, as if she was angry that I didn't make a stronger move, and she wanted me to make a move, but at the same time, she wasn't helping me by constantly being unavailable, and in those little windows where she was available, she wouldn't let me know. And I don't know, it was such a crazy, increasingly complex bad situation with this girl. So yeah, I had to get out of there. I had to. For both of us, you know? So I did. I've been checking out apartments for months. Nothing really felt right. This one didn't even feel right when I saw it. It was like 50% right. And I thought, let's just do it. I said, yeah, I'll take it. And moved my stuff real quick, just disappeared out of that old world. And as I was getting at there, the importance of your home base. So definitely when things aren't going well in your house, when you're living in a situation where you are having tensions with roommates or family, or you're just unhappy, you feel rotten, there's sickness going on in your home base, that's a bad situation. It's so much worse than people might realize because your home is the heart of your life, right? And what's going on in your home is also going on inside of you because it's your base, it's your center. So it gets in you. You can try as hard as you can to ignore it. You can try as hard as you can to live through it, as I always do. I always try to stubborn through things. But problems at the home base will get inside you and destabilize your entire life. Make your entire life a chore, right? So if you are living in that kind of situation, definitely consider changing your living situation. It might be difficult, it might be a sacrifice, it might be complicated, but I could tell you from the experience of leaving that place and coming here now, you'll feel so much better when you're in a situation where your home base is stable and healthy without problems. Just in this last week and a half, as I've been describing, I've been feeling myself waking up again out of this sludge that I was stuck in, right? So yeah, definitely, if you feel resonance to this kind of story, if you're living with a bad roommate, if you're living with abusive partners or just bad neighbors or something like that, get out, just move, just change if you can, you know? Of course, if it's gonna be really stupid to do so financially, don't do it. But if it's at all possible, even if it hurts a little bit, do it and make sure you go to a place where everything feels right and you'll wake up again out of this bad situation. You'll find yourself again. So look, the proof is in the pudding. Here I am recording, both because of the silence, but also because I've been feeling my energies coming back. I've been feeling the weight come off of me that's been just draining me for months of all these various problems I had in the other place. But at the same time, this strange appreciation happened, even for the bad neighbors, even for the trouble with the girl, even with all of that. I was living in really close quarters with these people, you know, living, as I said, as cheap as I possibly can. You're basically sharing a house with a bunch of strangers here in Peru. And I was even sharing a bathroom, right? So you see each other all the time. You're all up in each other's business. You know when people are having sex. You know when people are fighting. It's really intimate. And here in this new place, I barely see the neighbors. I've barely met the neighbors. And that was kind of a shock for me in how sad that kind of made me. I mean, as upset as I was of stepping on each other's toes at this other place, when I got to this new place and there was just this dead silence, there was this sort of sadness that came up of, oh, even though we didn't get along, even though there was a lot of problems, having other people around was somehow good, even if it was bad. You know what I mean? It was like living with family. And I'm living here alone in Peru. I don't have family. So there was this weird doubt that came over me when I got to this place of, oh, this is bad. I feel isolated now, right? And this strange appreciation came up for even the trouble I was having at the other place. Because even though it was trouble, even though it was frustrating, there were people in my life that were like a family, right? People you see every day, people you get to know pretty well. There's something good about that, even when it's bad, you know what I mean? But especially down on the lower floor of this apartment I was living in, there were the owners of the building who were operating a bar and a little bodega, a little convenience store on the lower floor. And they were great. I had a great relationship with them. They were super friendly, a very family vibe down there because it was a family with, you know, kids and the parents and the mother of the parents and the aunt and the uncle. And seeing them every day, going down there, getting my stuff for breakfast and whatnot, or anytime I needed a bottle of water or whatever, I'd go down there, and they'd greet me, "Hey, Pedro, how's it going? Oh, blah, 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 what's going on today? Oh, you're gonna go traveling, huh?" That was like a family for me. So I had to leave the family upstairs I wasn't getting along with, and the family downstairs that I was getting along with, to come to this little isolated fortress of solitude where I can work. So there was a sacrifice there, and I was worried for a while that I would get really depressed here just from solitude alone. But you know what? The feeling of recovering my energy, of remembering myself and finding my center again and being able to concentrate is worth it, I guess. I've got friends I could still visit and whatnot. It just changed how I feel at home. I no longer feel I'm living with a family. I now feel I'm just living alone, which is fine. The silence is more important. Sleeping well is so important. I'll deal with it. So that's the story of what's been going on of note lately in my life. Yes, coming out of this depression that came mostly because of that girl, but also because of many, many stresses in my life. Depression. Look, I know depression really well. I've been depressed many, many times throughout my life, ever since puberty. You know, depression isn't regarded as this serious illness as much as something like cancer, right? Because it's invisible, it's intangible, it's mental, right? It's not a physical ailment as though, your body is falling apart or not working. And it's not really even that your mind isn't working, but it is that you're stuck in some kind of bad state, right? And you can't get out of it. I know depression so well after all these depressions I've had in life. And the more I know it, the more I start to see it as like one of the most insidious illnesses out there. Number one, because it does sort of get downplayed by people who don't understand what a real, true depression is, right? It's not just being sad. Depression is being trapped in sadness, of not being able to enjoy any moment of life. It's like a sapping force. And you can't just ignore it and be happy, because that's the problem. The problem is that there is a problem. There is a sadness that is always in your mind. You can't look away from it because it's so important, or it's so bad, or it hurts so much, or there's no solution and you're trying to find the solution. For whatever reason, when you're depressed, the depressing issue is always there, 24/7, when you're sleeping, when you're awake, when you're trying to enjoy life with friends, when you're going out trying to feel better, when you go to a movie, when you go to a restaurant, when you're listening to music. It's just always there, and you can't look away. So it drains you. Slowly but surely, it drains you, and you start to have things drop away in your life. You start to die off as a person when you're depressed. And as I said, I've seen this happen in myself so many times, in depression, out of depression, in another depression, out of the depression again. I've seen both sides of who I am. And that's what happens. It's like you're a branch, right? With leaves and flowers and fruit. That's a healthy branch, living, fully fruiting in life. And when you're depressed, the leaves start to fall off. The flow cuts off, right? The fruits rot away and don't grow again. The flowers don't come to make fruit, you know, and you just become this naked branch in the wind. You're still alive in the core, but there's no decoration, there's no celebration, there's no extra energy to create anything beautiful. You're just this twig surviving until eventually, you know, the end comes. It's a really bad state to be in, and if you don't know that state, please try to understand that if you have a friend who deals with this, try to understand that number one, it's not a choice. Nobody chooses to feel that bad, right? Someone in depression doesn't want to be in depression, so you can't give them the statement of, well, you're just choosing to be in your muck and you just don't want to get out of it. That's not true. Nobody wants to waste their life in that state. It's more of being lost in that state of not knowing the way out, of not knowing the solution. And oftentimes the solution to the issue that's causing the depression will resolve the depression, right? But the problem is finding that solution or getting to that solution or enacting that solution. And until you can do that, you're just stuck. It's a really miserable state to be in. And you know, I'm sure that being depressed, extremely depressed for, you know, a really long time, I'm sure that it shortens your life, as depressing as that sounds for people who are depressed. I know that sounds horrible. It's shortening years off the end of your life, but that's just the fact of stress. Stress does that. Stress is not good. Animals can be stressed to death, to immediate death, if you stress an animal too much, right? If you freak them out too much, if you take a wild animal, put it in a cage, and start poking at it every day, you know, it's gonna die really quickly from pure stress on the system. And depression is a kind of stress on the system. It's this negative, you're just stewing in these negative chemicals and emotions, and the body starts to behave badly, and I'm sure it cuts years off the end of your life. And I'm not saying that to depress you further, if you are a depressive person. I'm saying that to put a fire under your ass, to deal with it seriously, to attack it seriously. As I've used this concept on myself. But the most insidious part of depression is, at the same time, while it's cutting off years off the end of your life, I'm sure, it's also stopping you from living now. So it's dying at both ends. It's this cruel, it's so sinister, depression. And it should be taken a lot more seriously than it is. And, you know, people try to just bear with it, but that's not it. You have to fight it. You have to fix it. You have to dedicate yourself to finding that solution, finding what works for you, and getting your ass out of that state, because not only is it shortening your life, it's also stopping you from living now. So when are you going to live? Now, when you're not living? Later, when you can't live anymore? You know, get back to life. That's getting out of depression. And, you know, easier said than done. I understand. I know it very, very well. But that's just a concept that I would tell to anybody dealing with depression, just to sort of slap some sense into them, right? Get them to at least realize how serious it is and how... You have to put your all into solving it. You can't just accept it. You can't just go, well, this is what it is and I'm depressed. No, you gotta wake the hell up because you're in quicksand, you know? You gotta make moves. Yeah, depression. Look, just to give you an example of how depression sort of robs you away from life, I still remember in puberty, when I fell into my first depression without even knowing it, right? I think it was a year and a half long, this first depression, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was filled with sadness and frustration, and I just couldn't connect with friends, and I was lost, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. I don't know if it's got to do with the chemical shifts that were happening in my body in puberty or what, but when that first one hit, I didn't even know I was in it. Until it just passed. I don't know why. Just a year and a half later, this depression passed. And it passed at the same time that summer was coming back to Toronto. So the winter is gray, you know, mostly overcast sky, solidly gray for the whole winter. You know, everything's dead, everything's white and gray and cold. And here comes the summer again, you know. The greenery is appearing again, the skies are turning blue, this beautiful sunshine is coming out, and at the same time, I came out of my depression, my very first one. And I remember being surprised, like truly shocked, that green was so green, and blue was so blue, and I was thinking, what the hell? Were the colors always this intense? Like, when... I forgot that green was so green and blue was so blue. Oh my God, look at these colors. Look at this. This is great. And it's because I was coming out of this depression that I had been in through the previous summer. So for a whole summer, even though everything was green, everything was blue, there was life everywhere, I was depressed. And somehow the color wasn't triggering whatever the hell color triggers when you look at it inside of you, right? So I don't know if there's pleasure hormones that are released when you see color or what, but there was this veil between me and existence, between me and the world around me, that was preventing even the vibrancy of color from affecting me, from registering inside of me. And here I was sensing it again, and it was as if for the first time, and I was really confused by this. But now I understand. It's because that's exactly what depression does. It seals you away from living. It's because you're never connecting with the world, because you're constantly connecting with what's bothering you. That's what's taking all of your focus, all of your attention, and the world outside of you is just this secondary concern that you're not really paying much attention to. That's how, you know, your creative juices die off. That's how you lose relationships and people stop inviting you out. And when you do go out, you can't seem to connect with everyone else enjoying themselves. You feel like you're just, there's a wall between you and the world. And that's the depression. Depression turns your energy inwards. It turns your attention inwards to the problems, to the sadness, to the preoccupation. And it's just this trap, right? This really sinister trap. So I realize I'm pointing out a lot of negativity to depression, and that, but that's what it is. Depression is a negative thing. It's a sickness. It's an illness. And I'm not, again, saying this to make anybody who's dealing with it feel worse, but sometimes you need that slap to the face to realize what a dire situation you're in, to put the fire under your ass, to get out, right? Because so many people resign themselves to, well, this is it. Right? And I'm gonna survive, I'm gonna tolerate it, and I'm just gonna power through. And that definitely is a good trait to have, to be able to power through adversity, to power through difficulties. That's a good thing to have. But that also will eventually run out. That will drain you. It's an effort, an extra effort on top of the draining effort of depression. So that will help you for a while. But it's not a solution. You can't accept it as your solution. You have to defeat the depression. You have to find your way to get out. You have to find your way to solve it, to make things better. You can't just sit there and keep sinking. Anyway, it might be tough love that I'm giving here, but that's my advice for a friend. If a friend was dealing with depression, I'd tell them the same thing. So yes, fellow human, depression and, you know, just draining from restlessness and the noise stopping me from working has taken me away from the podcast for several months. And these are the prices of depression, right? These are the prices of falling into these pits. But thank God I'm out. Again, thanks so much to the donators for making this possible, for getting me out of this recent depression. I'm coming out. I feel it. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling healthier. I see my body becoming healthy again. I see my face, the light in my face coming back. And, you know, little details like artistic energy, you know, I've been having paintings show up in my mind and I've been doodling. I've been preparing to create some more visuals. And of course, here I am recording again. So, you know, the branch is blooming again. That's the good news. When you get out of depression, life is always waiting to burst out again. Let that be a motivation, something to get to flowering, to leaves, to fruiting again, to celebrating living. That's what's waiting for you when you come out of a depression, you know? But my heart goes out to anybody dealing with depression. As I said, I understand it so well. I've been through it so many times, and I know how bad it gets. But you can get out. There is a solution. It's not one solution that fits all. It's about learning. It's about learning what it is that this is teaching you. Everything in life teaches you everything. So if you've tried everything you can try to get out of your depression, try regarding it as a teacher and try seeing what it's trying to teach you, what you need to change in yourself, what you need to change in your life, you know, what fear you have to face or what difficult effort you have to undertake. What hard truth do you have to accept to get out of this bad spot? It's always a lesson. That's one thing I definitely believe. Every single thing that happens to you in life is a lesson trying to happen. And until you learn that lesson, until you master that lesson, until you get the point, it'll just be relentless. So try to regard it as that. Try to regard it as a teacher. Try to regard it as a lesson. Find what the lesson is. Find what it's teaching you. Find how you can grow out of that situation. And when you connect to that and you charge at that, oftentimes it'll go because that's what it was for. And now you get it. All right, there goes the depression. There goes the problem. You know what I mean? Hopefully that helps somebody out there. I really hope so. So there it is, fellow human. Just a brief update on what's been going on over here in life. Otherwise, you know, still living the Peruvian life, still going into ayahuasca dieta once in a while. I'm going into one on the 24th, in fact. So I will be gone for a week, but I'll get to record in this beautiful silence of the jungle. I will make the best of it, of course. And when I return from this dieta this time, I'm returning to stability. I'm returning to no molestation, no irritation from these problems I had in the other place. So I'm looking forward to coming back fresh and in this beautiful silence of this apartment, able to record anytime I want, anything I want. It's going to be great. So look forward to more episodes coming out. I could give you a couple of ideas on what's coming up down the pipe. I would like to record another episode delving into psychicness, which is a request from one of the donators. I'm also looking forward to teaching you guys about understanding visions and working with archetypes. It's going to be kind of an advanced psychedelic topic, but I think it'll be useful for anyone dealing with plant medicines and psychedelics and meditation even, or dream work. What else is coming down the pipe? A lot of stuff about personal power, and that's something that I feel is always at the center of this podcast, personal power, finding your own power in life and keeping it and using it and not letting other people rob it, realizing how much more powerful you are than you realize. A lot of interesting concepts have been brewing in my mind. I've been jotting them down about personal power. So that's the kind of stuff you guys could look forward to in the next weeks to come. Of course, there's always going to be a little bit of music mixed in and a little bit of art, which I post over at higherideas.net or on my Facebook. Speaking of which, I hope you guys will catch up with me on Facebook. If you haven't, you can directly connect to me as Pedro de Selva. You can find that link at the bottom of higherideas.net. Or you could like the Higher Ideas Podcast Facebook page to get a more direct feed of specific podcast content. And of course, that Patreon fund, which is still striving to reach $300, where I could definitely survive indefinitely here. If anyone else out there wants to pitch in and help support what's going on here, you're always welcome, no matter how much you want to donate. There are rewards at different levels. The most basic of which is you get to request an episode and get a shout out. So head over to higherideas.net. That link is up at the top, little orange Patreon link. Thank you guys so much who have donated so far, and thank you to anyone else who will donate. It really, really is saving me over here in Peru. I'm not kidding. And finally, if any of you would like to diet ayahuasca, if you would like to meet this amazing plant medicine, do some deep personal work over here in Peru, make it a trip that you'll never forget into the jungle, beautiful sights, and on top of that, working with this powerful medicine, with this powerful teacher who I work with, this powerful healer. But then also, you get to work with me. I will be supporting you through your week, dealing with whatever comes up for you, helping you understand what happens in your experiences, helping you adjust to whatever it is you're working with. I'll be a counselor, I'll be a trainer, I'll be a friend. This is what I'm here for. This is my job over here in Peru. If that interests you, working with these plant medicines in this amazing Peruvian adventure, you can find a link to that information, again, over at higherideas.net, up at the top. You'll see a nice, colorful green link to Via Verde, Ayahuasca. That is my service, so please check it out, get in touch, see what we can figure out. So that's it for this one, fellow human. Just an open heart Sunday, giving you guys an update, trying to get the flow going again with my recording skills. So, until next time, keep thinking.